So, first of all, we said that the saying gifts are the gifts of tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. These are gifts of where we utter. There's an utterance and a manifestation of the gifts, and we can see those in Ephesians 4:12, and also in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. It refers there about this, the same gifting. So we've covered tongues, we've covered interpretation a week ago. Today we're going to look at prophecy and the operation of prophecy and how it sort of functions. I nearly said how it works, but it's how it functions in that sense. So, but just to back up slightly, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is John the Baptist talking about the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Right? Now, Jesus has not actually in himself shown himself to the people of who he was. But John the Baptist is here baptizing people into repentance by water. But he's saying, "But there's one who's coming after me who's greater, and he will baptize you in the Spirit." Hallelujah. And so, you know, for some of you, you've yet to be baptized in water. Well, that's coming up this next few weeks. We shall be preparing for that. So, praise God. So it's going to be a good time. So, you know, we're following Scripture all the way. And so John is saying that there is one who's coming, who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then, obviously, Jesus turns up on the scene. And then we move quickly to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And this is where Jesus has already been crucified, he's risen, ascended, and the disciples are gathered together, and Jesus gathers them together. He commands them not to leave Jerusalem. This is before he finally ascends to the Father, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which is, he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So this is Jesus confirming what John had said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. But you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's fantastic. Jesus is confirming this. And we know that this is a promise of the Father. That's what Jesus promised. He's promised that the power of heaven will be made available to you and to me. Wow, that is awesome. But it has to be all connected with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit never operates outside the Word of God, and the Word of God never operates outside of the Holy Spirit. It talks about, you know, Jesus talks about being, he and the Father are one, and as with the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are joined together, different functions. I'll ask you a question. When was the first time there was ever a mention of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? In the Bible. Where, before you answer, think for a moment. When was the first time that the Holy Spirit was ever mentioned in the Word of God.
Genesis.
And the Spirit of God hovered over. Wow. So, right from the very beginning of creation, Jesus being the Word, God, the Creator, and God the Holy Spirit, the doing, the functioning, the enabling, the empowering. Wow, what an awesome thing. I watched a program last night, and I think we'd videoed it, and it was on the Hubble telescope. Amazing imagery that had come from outer space, and I forgot how many billions of light years they'd gone back in time for seeing these stars, that the light from these stars that now no longer exist. And they're saying that this, you know, this is what we're seeing now, this is at the point of the beginning of creation, you know. And I'm thinking, yeah, and you see the fantastic, amazing, and you've gone so far out, and they're saying, we're just looking now, there was this photograph that they'd taken, we're just looking now at the dawn of creation. And I'm thinking, yeah, and you still haven't found God, have you, in all of this? You know, and the magnitude and the power of God is amazing. And so, we have an awesome God, we have an awesome Heavenly Father who wants to give you power, authority in the kingdom of God as you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, I give you all power and all authority. Wow. In my name. That is so that we can set about continuing the work of the kingdom of God that the Lord Jesus started. And Jesus said, greater works shall you do in my name. Right? So, we have a great task before us. We have an exciting program before us. That's the thing to think about. Wow, you know, and that no matter, God is going to be with us as we journey. And as we progress in our experience, and as we develop in our understanding and our ability to communicate with God and recognize God communicating back to us, because that is another thing. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now there are many voices out there trying to get your attention. Many voices trying to get your attention, and many voices that can speak so close to the truth that it sounds like the truth, right? So let me tell you this, if it ministers fear,
it's not the truth.
It ain't the truth.
That's right.
God is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Okay? And you know, I know we're at this stage, the world is in turmoil at the moment, as we're in this situation with the Ukraine and Russian war that is going on. Our focus still needs to be on God, because God is the answer. God is the answer. And this is where we need to focus into. Focus on the Word. And the reason we're doing this together like this is because I want to see you as individuals equipped and able to minister under the power of the Holy Spirit to the lives that will be coming in to church, into this building, to the people that you meet, that will knock on your door, that you'll be able to minister under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need to be hearing the voice of God. You need to be hearing what the Spirit is saying. And that happens only by you and I together. And I'm going to use the word practice. Practicing. Listening to God. Because But he's only that way. You see, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two whilst he was still here. Why did he send them out? He sent them out to practice what he taught them. That's all he did. And they came back and said, oh, Jesus, you're not going to believe what's been happening. Even the demons are subject to us. You know, they're just, it's absolutely amazing. And he said, well, he says, that's great. But don't just rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Hallelujah. That's the important thing. Because what you do, or what God does through you, is only because your name is written up there in that book of life, you know. And that's what we can, where we're to rejoice in, that, you know, God is there for us, and we carry on that way. And I believe that God wants to move the church into a position and a place of prayer and preparation for a great outpouring of His Spirit and power and presence, and it will begin to shake the area, because that's the only thing that's going to do it, right? An outpouring of God, an unbelievable outpouring of God in the place where we are. But it starts in you and me first. There has to be an outpouring within us. There has to be that where we are, where we know the voice of God. And you know, I've shared stories, and I don't know how many different stories I've shared. I have to keep sharing sometimes the same story because it's different people come through. But I shared the story historically where a minister friend of mine took me under his wing, had me go take Saturday night meetings, lead the meeting for him, and then he moved in the prophetic, he moved in signs and wonders. And so he would say to me before the meeting, he said, well, when we finished and we come to praying for people, I want you to stand at the side of me. That's all he told me to do. Stand at the side of me. Well, I can do that. You know, don't ask me to do anything, but I'll stand at the side of you. So I would stand at the side of him. And people would come out for prayer, and they didn't tell him anything, but God did. And he would start speaking into this person's life and say, yeah, that's right. And they'd pray for him, and the power of God would minister to them and heal them or whatever it was. And I was like, wow, this is absolutely amazing, this is, you know. This went on for a number of meetings, and then one time I was stood at the side of him, and I remember a lady came out, and literally before he said anything, I got these few words about this lady. I thought, not really heard sort of like that before, God speak. And he then said exactly what I heard, and I went, whoa, you know, something's happening here, sort of thing. I didn't say anything, and then it happened again. I'm thinking, ooh, I'm beginning to hear. And then I remember during that same period of time, believe it or not, I was working on my car. I was changing the brake shoes. It was nearly dark. And God spoke to me. And he told me about a girl in our church and about a certain issue. And I'm like, so, you know, I'm trying to do my brakes. You know. What can I do about it now? You know, it's nearly 10, 11 o'clock at night. And so I dismissed it. And a week or two later, I was out with a meeting with this minister. And this girl from our church also came to the meeting. And we'd had a great meeting. I'd been hearing God again, and it's like, wow, this is amazing, you know. And I'd never really said anything about the fact to the minister that I'd heard what he'd said. I think I just sort of pondered these things in my heart, really, and kept them to myself. And the service had finished, and this girl and the family were talking together with this minister, and I could see he was asking her questions, and he was just getting nowhere. He just had no insight into the problem that this girl had. And the Lord said to me, in fact, somebody pushed me in the back and said, "You know." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, just go and tell them." "Oh, okay." So I go forward, you see, and I said, "Is it anything to do with?" And these words just came out of my mouth, and this girl erupted, honestly. Mm-hmm. And the next thing, she turned around crying and took off running out the church. And I stood there and thought, well, that he can deal with it now, can't he? And he looked at me and he said, "Well, you know all about it, you better go and deal with it." I'm like, what? And yeah, the Lord did a work. So sometimes God can speak to you, and it might be you've just got to hold it, right, till the right moment. And that's another thing. Sometimes people jump in before it's time to give birth to the word. Are you with me? And it becomes premature. You know, sometimes God has to begin to prepare you. You know, God has given you something, it might be God saying, just wait on that. Just hold it and wait. Because there is a point in time when you'll suddenly get the, you know this, it's your time. And you then just share it. So, just because, and I might be jumping ahead of myself, but you know, you'll pick all these things up. We'll go over these things, I suppose, time and time, because repeating it is the way to remember it. So basically, God can give you something, and you've got it. Now, for some reason, like with myself, I had a number of things for these meetings, but I didn't say them. But the man who was the anointed one, shall we say, flowing in that ministry of the prophetic, when he shared them, I was like, wow, it confirmed to me that I was a hearing. And that is so important, because it gives you that extra confidence. I'm hearing God, I'm hearing the Spirit of God speak to me. So that builds up your confidence, because when we speak these things out, when I speak these things out, I want to be sure that it's not Andrew, it's not what Andrew knows, it's not the Spirit of Andrew, but it is the Holy Spirit of God whispering secrets from the very throne room of God into our spirit. Now that's what I always, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, I always say that the Holy Spirit will whisper the secrets that are being spoken in heaven about your circumstance. Right? And he says it into your spirit. And that's the important thing, that we need to realise that when the Holy Spirit is at work, he's connected. He has a direct line straight into heaven. He knows the secrets. He knows what God is saying on his throne room right now for you and for me as individuals. And we will practice some of this. We'll do a session where we'll just wait on the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, just give us something. You might just get a couple of words. Yeah. Might be a sentence. Whatever God gives, you give. You suddenly... Ava came to me and said, whilst folk were praying for Grace and I, she saw something and she shared it with Grace, and then she came and shared it with me, and it honestly gave me goosebumps. Yeah, honestly. Yeah, and I really felt a confirmation. Because each and every one of us in ministry faces battles that none of you know anything about, and it's, you know, sometimes we face these battles and sometimes we feel like we're facing them a little bit on our own, but praise God, we have to remember and realise that God is still on the throne. God is still there listening, and that people are praying. And I believe that God wants to raise up within the church structure ministry of intercessory prayer, ministry of healing, ministry of gifts, of wisdom and knowledge and revelation, all that fit in with these, but at the same time, gifts of sort of being able to, Joan's great, isn't she? This last Sunday, suddenly there's a cup of tea. Thank you, Joan. Yeah, ministry of helps. Such a joy, you know. And the next thing, Andrew, here's your trifle. Ministry of helps, you see. And don't put down these things, right? Whatever you do, do not put them down. Because the church functions with all of these ministries in operation. And some might say, oh, that's, making a cup of tea, that's not much of a ministry, is it? What about it? You know, Jesus sees the smallest thing.
That's right.
And you can consider the widow and the widow's mite. The rich man comes and drops a pile of coins in from a great height, and everybody hears them tinkling in the offering box and says, wow, isn't that great? And Jesus sits there and thinks, well, that's your reward, mate. Everybody's adoration. And then there's this little old lady that comes and she gives just about everything she's got. The smallest coin that was ever produced. And she quietly drops it in. And Jesus says,
nothing worth more than all them coins.
Absolutely. She gave more.
Yeah.
Gave more, you see. And so, what's that cup of tea worth? What's that trifle worth? Mm-hmm. What's that word of encouragement worth? You know? Sometimes it might be worth more than Daniel standing up there and preaching for three quarters of an hour to an hour.
Absolutely.
Or Andrew.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. We don't know. Because we all function. We're all part of a functioning body of Christ. And so that's so important that we learn to function together. I know we've not got into prophecy yet, but I'm building up to... What I'm trying to do is prepare your minds and your understanding and your spirits in learning to receive. And you know, Grace gets up and Grace will give a word and you think, wow, I'll never be able to do that. How do you know you'll never be able to do that? But you see, Grace didn't suddenly get saved and start doing it, you know, all at the same time. And I mean, Grace will tell you that if she hadn't have met me, and if we hadn't have married, she probably says she don't think she has still been saved.
Well, that's all that, though, and all because of baggage for me, I don't think I've been saved either.
No. And you know, that moves me.
It's about the first time I came here, I can't remember much, but I heard a voice said to me, I know you were singing Amazing Grace, but something said to me, you were lost, so now you're found.
Well, I was sliding in the corner. Oh, no.
Yeah, that happened the first time I came here.
Oh, yeah.
And I've never regretted that. I've moved every minute.
And you know, you've been a blessing. Every one of you. You've been a blessing. And I believe that, you know, in what we're doing, and the fact that you've, for a number of weeks, have come to Bible school prior to, have continued on, God is looking at your faithfulness. And don't put yourself down. Right? Whatever you do, don't put yourself down. Because it, what you have to remember, as we move forward, it is not you, just you doing whatever you're doing, but it is God the Holy Spirit doing it with you and through you. Right? And it's not how well educated you are. Right? It's how well tuned in to the Spirit, to the Word of God. And so by just spending some time in the Word of God, and sometimes we don't always understand it. I mean, there are times I've started reading the Word of God and suddenly I see something that I've never, ever seen before. I've never, ever heard preached before. And I'm like, wow. And this is what... And we need, as believers, to hear that Holy Spirit whispering to us the mysteries of this book. Because this book is a mystery. But when God the Holy Spirit begins to open up the page on the page, do you understand what I'm sort of saying? You know, this is a page and you can read it, but actually there are pages within this page, spiritually, that the Holy Spirit says, come here, I've got you one. Just open this one here, just have a look at this. And he opens up the Word of God to us in a different way, and you think, wow, never seen that before. Never heard that before. Because God is revealing, you know, that, as I say, we sent out this telescope, it's still going. And it still hasn't found the end. This book. This is bigger than the universe. Bigger than creation. It's God himself at work. God on earth. Yes. God in earth. You and me. That's what it's about. And God's revealing himself within each and every one of us. And as I said earlier, Jesus said to his disciples, I give you the authority of the kingdom of God. And that is in Matthew 18, verse 18. Matthew 18, verse 18. I give you, the disciples, that is, the authority of the kingdom of God. He says, truly, truly, I say, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again I say, verse 19, that if two of you agree on earth about anything, that they may ask it, and it shall be done for them by by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together, verse 20, in my name I am there in the midst. And the first two or three is that it means that you and the Father need to be in relationship spiritually. And we together need to be in that spiritual relationship. And then we will see the enemy. We've got the authority to bind principalities and powers and to rule over them. Because that is the destiny. That is the purpose of the church. And so we need to begin to move in that area. You know, Daniel and I, when we've been out on missions work, we don't confide. You know, what you're preaching on, Daniel, is, you know, none of that happens. May occasionally, but not with an ulterior motive behind it, just to say, oh, well, I'll follow on with this. You know, it's like, have you got the word for today, or whatever, what do you feel, and etc. And when we've prayed with people, we've prayed at different ends of the room and crossed over and continued praying through the room, and suddenly discovered that what Daniel prayed over this person, I've just prayed exactly the same thing, and what I prayed over this, Daniel's prayed. It's like, wow. What does that say? That says that same spirit.
Is that like the other week when Ken was preaching,
yeah,
and Daniel, they both didn't know, but they spoke about anxiety.
Exactly that. Exactly that. Yeah. Now, obviously, somebody in church or some people in church needed to hear that. You did.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you see, this is important, the fact that we're honest and say, that's for me.
Mm.
Because in doing that, we don't elevate the speaker directly, but we elevate the Holy Spirit. Because it is via the Holy Spirit that this word has come forth, right? But by saying, that's for me, we're actually honouring God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying that God is in this place.
Yeah.
That God is, that the ministry team is hearing God. And that's so important, that we have a team of men and women who hear the Holy Spirit. I don't want a team of men and women who just say, how high do we have to jump, Andrew? I want a team of men and women who hear God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. That, because I know that's what the Father wants. And I only want what the Father wants.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And I really don't care. I'm too old now to be bothered about being the elevated whole, you know, mighty man of, you know, because it's team.
Yeah.
It's team. And we all play an important part. And if somebody's missing, then the mighty man might not function. Right? So, bear that in mind. It's that team together. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. You know, this is while Jesus is still on the earth. And he says, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. Now this is before they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wow. Whoa. Now, let's just back up for a minute. In the Old Testament, for instance, now we've said, first thing we said was, the Holy Spirit was there right at creation. But during the Old Testament time, there is a limited amount of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Right? So, let's have a look at that for a moment. In the Old Testament time, when the king was anointed by the high priest, now the high priest was the one who was supposed to be an anointed one, and that the Holy Spirit was upon that person, that high priest. Yeah? Moses, for instance, he was the prophet and the deliverer to the nation. The Spirit of God was upon him. So we have the high priest, we have the prophets. Thirdly, the king of the nation was supposed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit and to hear God. We know about King David, don't we? And the Psalms that King David wrote and his relationship that he had with God. In fact, his relationship was like living in today's relationship that we have with God.
Yeah.
So,
that then, I want to get to grace. How did David, with him being a eunuch with the sheep and that, and being young, and he came to be 16 and that, I said, how did he learn to read and write in education? So Grace told me, it's God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, in his very early days, the boys were always taught to read as much as possible, and it was all done by the synagogue, really. That's really most of it was done, and that's because, as you know, they didn't print the Word of God like we do today. They had scrolls, and these scrolls were copied and taken around and given to, and they were kept at the temples for the priests to read out, and that's how it was done. So David would have learnt, much of what he learnt would have been remembered. Memory. You know, they didn't have sheets of paper like we've got. They didn't have photocopiers. And they didn't have Bibles. So much of what they knew of God, it had to be into their hearts and minds. But David went even further. Because in his lonely days and nights, looking after them dumb sheep that he had and fighting off the wild animals and that, he developed a personal relationship with God and a humility with the Lord. So David, when he came to that point when God chose him, he was anointed as king. The Spirit of God was upon him. And we know that when he sang for Saul, he would sing and deal with the spirit of torment that was on Saul. So David was anointed even before he was king, actually, because of his relationship that he had. And that's why God chose him. So what we see in the Old Testament is that there is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, for instance, you will see people like Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, and you can go through the minor prophets, as they're called in the Old Testament, and Samuel. These people were God's mouthpiece to the nation. Again, as I said, they didn't have a Bible. They had some scrolls, but they didn't have a Bible. And so God would speak to individuals who dedicated themselves to serve God, or who God had chosen to be dedicated to serve him. And so these were the men that were prophetic, and they would function in that office, and they would bring, they'd even bring judgment on the nation because of their lack of following God. So these were the men of God. So that the Holy Spirit was around even in Old Testament times, but it was in a limited amount. And then, because then we find that in Isaiah, he says, God will pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh, saying that your young men and your young women shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, even in the Old Testament, even before Jesus was to be born, God's saying, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. In other words, I will be available personally to everyone. You see, the Old Testament, you had to go through the priest to God. Not today. God said, I've run away with that. Through Jesus Christ. And today, we go directly into the presence of God. That's what God wants. And then God begins to reveal to you, like I said earlier, speaks to you and ministers to you and gives you something to bring out and minister to others. And this is so important. And this is part of the learning. This is part of development. The process that is going on in our lives. How long have we been going? And not feel rushed and pressurized by what I'm saying to you and what God desires of you and desires to give to you. That's the thing. You know, it's not you doing it. It's God doing it through you.
That's right.
And then it becomes easier. You know, I mean, when we get up to minister, and it's like, okay, this has got to be God doing this. It's got to be God doing this. God flowing through us. Otherwise, it's just man's words. And they're vain. And it's like, that's not good enough. And I say, each time I say, Lord, your voice needs to be heard. Your presence needs to be seen. And when people come here, they need to see Jesus. They need to sense the power of God. They need to know that God is in this place.
Sometimes on a Sunday you can feel it, can't you?
Yeah. And you know, this needs to intensify. This needs to intensify. And that comes because when each and every one of us has an anointing. Right? And each and every one of us, when we come to the church, we bring that anointing oil. And we pour it out in our worship. Don't be afraid to raise your hands. Don't be afraid to shout hallelujah. Don't be afraid to just begin to worship God and begin to thank Him. Nobody's going to jump on you. If you're out of, and let me say this with great kindness, if you're out of line in any way, we'll talk with you later and guide.
That's right.
And guide. If, and I'm not saying you will be, but you know, but if we don't jump in, you'll never learn to swim. You can stand outside of a swimming pool for the rest of your life.
I can't swim anyway.
Oh dear. But you see, if you jump in and let, and you know, then you learn to swim. You learn to go with it. And with the Spirit of God, if we just jump in with God. And that's what we need to deal with. We need to let God begin to move in our lives. So today, you and I are waiting for the power of the Spirit to fill us, to empower us. You know, when Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was actually led into the wilderness after he'd been baptized by John. You know, John had talked about this man and said, oh, I'm not even worthy to undo his sandals, let alone, you know, baptize him. And Jesus turns up and Jesus said, permit it. Mm-hmm. Let it be. And at that point when he's baptized, as he comes up out of the water, it says a spirit descends upon him, the Holy Spirit, like a dove. Descends upon him. And then it says he's led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And at that point he has three temptations. One, to deal with his body, putting his body under subjection. Turn these stones into bread. The next one is the temptation of the soul, the mind. The ego. You know? See these kingdoms? All of these kingdoms, Satan said, these are mine. He weren't lying. He weren't lying. They were degenerate nations. He says, I'll give you all these. Oh, wow. You don't have to go to that cross. You don't have to die. Just bow. Worship me. Don't worship the wrong thing.
That's right.
And so there was this, you know, Jesus was dealing with his mind, this soulish man, his ego. And then thirdly, the spiritual realm takes him up to a high place and says, you know, just get yourself off from me and the angels will come up and catch you and that. Trusting in the spirit realm. If he'd have done that, you see, he'd have missed it again. So when Jesus went through that wilderness situation, he conquered every realm of temptation. And it says at the end, in verse 13 of that Luke chapter 4, when the devil had finished every temptation, he left him, Jesus, until an opportune time. And then the public ministry of Jesus began. It said in verse 14, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. Let me tell you this, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to read that verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And the church needs to have Jesus returning to the church in the power of the Spirit, and then the news of Jesus in the church will spread into the surrounding districts, you see. Yeah. And that's where we've got to get to. But it is again about you and I as individuals listening to God, learning to follow through, submitting to one another. You know, we in leadership, we submit to one another. I was saying earlier that, you know, you've heard me say publicly, I give my leaders the right to speak to me if they think I'm out of line. I've submitted to my leadership. But at the same time, my leadership also submit to me to do exactly the same thing. Because I want, I desire, and I know the Lord desires, a leadership team that hears the things of the Spirit, that speaks by the Spirit, that takes this word of God and will not water it down, but will use it as a sharp two-edged sword to bring in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. And so, you know, Jesus has promised you and I the kingdom of God. And he said the kingdom is actually within you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do we go, Andrew? Let's try the last few minutes just to talk on prophecy a little bit more. I'm working from two sets of notes at the moment, actually, but I'm trying to mix them together because I did this in Romania slightly differently, and I'm just bringing some things in from Romania which I think is important. The gift of prophecy. These are supernatural messages in a known tongue. In other words, in a language you and I understand. Right? Whereas when we speak in tongues, that's the language where it's like only God understands it. And when it comes to interpretation, that's because God has given to that person to interpret what has been said. But they themselves don't understand the language. It's only that God directly said, this is what I'm saying to the people. And so, but tongues, as I said to you the week before, is good for the upbuilding of yourself. You know, if the spirit of fear comes against you, start to speak in tongues. Start to praise God in tongues. And that thing will just go. Sickness comes against you, start to speak in tongues. You see, tongues is like an empowering. It's like literally plugging a battery and charging it up. It's like you plug into the Spirit and you charge yourself up some more. I use these simple terms because that's the way I see it.
In other words, asking. When you said plug it in. So the more you plug it in, the more you're learning of God.
The more you plug into God, the more you're empowered, the more you've got that ability to learn, to understand, and not forcing it, but just receiving. You see, when you charge a car battery, you put it, I mean, I've got two motorbikes, and they're all on trickle charge. They're just dribbling a little bit of electricity all the time, just keeping the battery at a certain level. Keeping it topped up where it needs to be, to protect it, to keep it functional, right? The problem today, many Christians don't connect into the Spirit until they're desperate for something.
Mm-hmm.
They don't trickle charge every day. In other words, you spend a bit of time worshipping God, trickle charging. You know?
You let that battery go completely flat.
I mean, today's modern batteries, yeah. If you, today, with modern batteries, if it goes flat, usually you can't get them to recover, right? That's with these modern batteries. And it's a good example because, you know, if you get flat spiritually,
yeah,
you're a target, you're immobilized. You know, a flat battery in a car, the car's no good. It's, you know, it can have all the wheels on it, it can have the engine, the gearbox and everything. But guess what? The battery is flat. Nothing works because of that. Right? I mean, for instance, certainly I know with modern motorbikes, years back, you guys will remember, years back when battery was flat, you could bump start a motorbike, couldn't you? You know, you'd run down the road and just leap on it, drop it into gear, and boom, it'd be off and go. Can't do that today with modern motorcycles. Because you don't have you need initial power to pump the fuel there. And you've got no power to get the fuel there, so it ain't going to happen. So without that battery. So today, you know, let's put that in a sense of today with you and I, we need to be constantly being trickle charged with the presence of God, the Spirit. We need to be constantly, day by day, connected, trickle charging us, filling us, so that any time we need to, boom, we're up and we're gone. We can move. And move in the anointing of God. That's where we need to be. And that is what, and prophecy, I mean, that moves us up. I was going to say that moves it up another level. I hate to say that in one sense. It's not really... Well, I suppose Paul sort of says, I would rather that you all, would all prophesy. So I guess we'll go with Paul. He's lifted us up a notch. He wants us to go, rather than lift us up, let's go deeper into God. Let's go deeper into the presence of God so that we begin to prophesy the things of God. We're hearing the Holy Spirit saying to us what God is speaking in heaven about circumstances and situations. That's what it's about. That's God's prophetic voice coming through. But also, the word teaches us that the prophetic has to be tested by the prophets. And you know, it'd be good to see 2, 3, 4 prophetic ministries residing within the church. So that there is that safety net. Because, I mean, I know of a ministry in America that I'm connected with. And, you know, they have a tremendous prophetic ministry there. And to Guy Marty and his wife are absolutely spot on. But you see, they come under the covering of the local church. They don't work outside that church. They are under that covering of that church. They go out and minister. They have their own ministry, but their own ministry is under the covering of that church that they were in for many years. And so when they're not out ministering, they're at that church. When they have their conference, and they've just had the conference now, you know, unfortunately I couldn't go this year to the US, and they've just had their conference. Marty wrote to me, said, I'll send you a stick with it all on, so it can be blessed and that. And, you know, there were people being healed, and God was moving mightily. And that, and you think, wow, praise God, and things were happening. But that's because everything is done in order. The prophetic's operating. The other gifts that we're going to come to later were all in operation, and they all function together. You see, so it's important. But the prophetic is good for it to operate in the church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1-5 talks there about the prophetic. The Hebrew definition for prophecy means to flow forth, to flow out, right? To bubble out like a fountain, to lift up, to spring from within. That's the definition of a prophetic, of prophecy. A flowing out, to speak, to be like a bubbling fountain, to lift up. See, prophecy is about, many times, is about lifting up. Now, I know a lot of people have always often come with this thing of a prophecy that is condemnatory. And you know, God is, if the church is moving forward together with Christ and the church is living in the things of the kingdom, then, you know, God will do a great work. So it's something that springs from within us through that relationship. The Greek definition for prophecy means to speak for another. So when God brings a prophetic word onto David, he's speaking for God. Wow. It's a big responsibility, isn't it? You know, it's not just, I personally don't do this glibly. I find it very challenging to, as I was saying earlier, off tape, that when I'm in my own church situation and it comes to bringing a prophetic word to somebody, I have to give a double take. The first question is, has this person had a conversation with me? Next question is, has somebody else told me? Have I overheard a conversation? You know, if I have, then I really have a problem in bringing what I feel I've got, because I'm now questioning me, right? Because I don't want to be bringing something on, oh, it's something I heard, so I'll just make it sound if it's from God.
I need
to,
information.
I'm out of the picture, you know, and it's like, I'm going to get judged on this one. So I can't do that. And that's why I said earlier that sometimes I'll come into church and I really don't want to get in conversation before service. And the reason for that is I don't want to hear somebody else's, a hint of somebody else's problems, difficulties and that, and then suddenly when God actually wants during the service to actually speak and speak powerfully into that person's life, and when that happens they go, ooh, nobody knew about that, only God and me. You see what I'm saying? And then that then says, wow, yeah, this is God at work, this is the power of the Spirit working, you see. So sometimes I'm not being
rude, or
yeah, thank you. I'm not trying to be rude or in any way like that, but I need to keep focused. I don't want the distractions, and then after service I'll talk well forever. You know that. You know I'm here for you. You know I'm last to leave. So you know it's not them. So please bear with me when you know. Don't bring your problems to me before service.
No.
Because I might in there and say, look, I don't want to know yet. I might have to stop you that way, but I'm doing it because you need to hear God. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's like sometimes you come into church, you can feel that presence, can't you?
Yeah. I mean, I know Daniel has had visitors from the Nepalese church, say, down in south of England. And they've come to see Daniel and the family, and they've said, oh, can we have a look at the church? And they've walked in the building and gone, whoa, wow, there's a real presence in this place. And this is the importance that what you do have to realise is that, and this is why we don't hire the building out, because people bring a presence, and this presence goes into the fabric of the building, right? So that when others come in, they come in and think, whoa, wow, there's just, you can literally feel it in the brickwork. And I mean this.
Yeah.
See? You all know historically that old saying, you could cut the air with a knife. Mm. When somebody's been arguing, you walk in the room and you go, ooh,
yeah, you can tell,
I'll just go back out, you know. So if we bring up, if we together have brought in and the presence of God has come in, but then when somebody walks in, they feel something. It's tangible. If you can feel, when a family's argued, if you can walk in after all the argument's gone off and you walk in, it's like, and you can feel a tangible presence of, oh, ho, ho,
yeah,
you know, then there's no reason why we cannot feel the tangible presence of God. And that it will remain in the place. And that's why I said, so I don't hire the place out. We have done, it's not happening again, because we felt there were things in the building and we have to do a clear out. So we don't do it for that reason. We have to, you know, God gave us this building to do work with this building, to do reach the presence of God and reach into the community, and the presence of God will do a work. So, prophecy. We're speaking on behalf of God. We're speaking this into people's lives. For instance, what you have to realise is that when we're talking about this part of Scripture, when it talks about prophecy, that some shall prophesy, that does not mean that you're a prophet. All it means is that the gift of prophecy has just operated within you. Like the gift of healing has just operated in you. Does not necessarily mean that you are called as a healing, with a healing ministry.
Mm-hmm.
now that does not mean that you're limited. It means that you can develop into that. Right? If God so allows you to, and if you so desire it, that's the thing. If you desire something. And I remember as a teenager when I gave my life to Christ, and I came to Christ through seeing people healed. And when I gave my life to Christ, I said, Lord, I'm going to serve you with signs, wonders and miracles. I believed absolutely, totally in healing. And I have made that my passion. Not that I take glory for it, because I'm not the healer. But I want, you know, I came in that avenue, and I want that avenue to constantly be part of me. It's part of my testimony. It's part of who I am in one sense in Christ, and through that we develop and grow.
David said, "You're the vessel."
That's right. We're just the vessel, and if we empty ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and say, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm available." And suddenly he says, "I want you to give a word of prophecy." Ooh, what do you mean? I've never done that before, Lord. No. And what I can suggest to you is that, and this is probably a good thing to do, is that you feel you get a word of prophecy, bring it to one of the leaders and say, "I just feel God has said this to me. What do you feel?" And no one ever has done this with me. Not something to be publicly shared, but for an individual. And she's graciously come and said, "While you were praying for so and so, I had this. What do you think?" And so I just ponder, and you know, do I get a positive witness that yeah, this is right? And I think once I said, "I think we'll just hold that one," but because I wasn't sure. I'm not saying it wasn't right, but I wasn't 100% sure. And I've told you how I am. You know, I'm as hard on me. I'm probably harder on me than I will be on you. But sometimes we just have to hold. And what we're to remember is that as we're waiting on God, sometimes, and this is how I find it, when I'm ministering within the own church context, our church, sometimes I have to push it away. I'm not sure, God, is that you or is that my mind? Is it something I've heard that's lodged in my mind? And so I push it away. And Lord, if it's you, bring it back. And if it, you know, and sometimes I'll do it three times. Push it away. And then it comes again. I say, "Okay, God, I'll go with this one." Mm. It's not that I'm rebelling.
No.
But I am, I want to be sure. Because I am dealing with a person's life.
Yeah, yeah.
You see.
Is it because you know a lot about the person? Yeah,
that's right, yeah. Yeah, it is. That's why it's so difficult. That's probably, in one sense, in the church, in our local church, sometimes the prophetic doesn't flow as much within me because I'm trying to be sure that of what I'm hearing, you see. Whereas when I'm out preaching elsewhere, it don't matter because I don't know anybody, I know that. So if something comes, I just say, okay, right, Lord, I'll give it. But when you come back home, it's like, don't happen as easy here because I'm more critical about me. I'm concerned about the body. I'm concerned that the body hears the truth and not just words that have come out of somebody's mind.
Sometimes, Andrew, can it be you giving it for the purpose of prayer rather than
mm-hmm.
give?
We can't just. I think what we would be careful when we talk about prophecy is people think, oh, it's something into the future. Not necessarily. It can be something that we have to pray into. It can be something about a person's life that we need to pray over. You know, so it varies. And it might be that when we start getting a little bit deeper into this subject, it might be the fact that we've got words of knowledge. So it's not a prophecy, but it's a word of knowledge. Some instances it can be a word of wisdom for a person, their life circumstances. But again, we'll get into that next week, hopefully. So sometimes what you have to remember, these gifts probably overlap, they do overlap a little bit. So we're not, you know, for instance, you might have a prophetic word that speaks into a person's life because God wants to actually heal them and that person just needs to deal with something. Mm-hmm. You with me? And so the prophetic and the gift of healing have to flow together at times. Mm-hmm. Yeah? You with me? I mean, that's happened with the ministry that I was involved in that, you know, led me into to hearing, you know, hearing the Lord and stepping out forward. The fact that he was Not only was he hearing the prophetic, but he was actually flowing in a healing ministry. And so the two together are partners. And often you will find there are dual gifts that come together. Because again, if we go to the fact that Jesus sent them out two by two, why should God be any different with his Spirit? The giftings coming out, flowing two by two, you see. You know, Paul talks, speaking tongues, talks about interpreting, and talks about that you prophesying. So, you know, he's saying that, yeah, great, these are together, but he's bringing prophecy, and so he's bringing three together. You know, but he's not diminishing the gift of tongues, because he says later on, but I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. You see, so he's not saying don't, but he's saying step up, step in, experience the deeper and the clearer things of God. But tongues leads you into this. The anointing of the Spirit leads you into this. where are we finally? Examples of prophecy in operation. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3, and this is again just telling us what prophecy is about. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3, but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation and consultation. Right? So what translation have you got? You've got New King James,
yeah.
What does yours say?
What was it?
Verse 3, chapter 14 and verse 3.
Right, verse 3.
Yeah.
But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation,
yeah,
and comfort to men.
And comfort. So there are the, Paul is laying out to some degree the structure and governance of prophecy.
Mm.
Isn't it? You know, he's laid it out there. You know, some people try and give you a prophecy that actually is fear-mongering. Well, that's not in here, is it?
No.
That is, you know, God says perfect love casts out all fear.
That's right.
Now, the Lord might speak to us about a situation that could be a fearful situation, but all he's doing is giving us a warning to prepare and to be ready and to walk in his presence. And bear in mind that God will always be there protecting us. And I know none of us are immune to everything that goes on around us. But, you know, that the great Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Right? And the thing is, so many people want to live there. David said, I'm going through it. So many people are living in it. Well, get up, pack your bags and walk through it, because that's what the psalmist did. And that's the important thing. And so it reminds us that we're not immune, but we can go through this and come out the other side. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now then, that's where we live. That's where we live. And so there are times when we're going through challenges, difficulties, but our destination is the house of the Lord, because that's where we're living forever. And you see, the psalmist finishes with that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. And Acts chapter 21. The book of Acts and chapter 21, verses 8 through to 11. And you know, some churches would say, oh well, it's only the men that can prophesy and so on, and you know, we have. But I love this one, because let's read Acts chapter 21, verses 8 through to 11. And on the next day we departed and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven we stayed with him. Now on that day, and now that man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. Want other translations say who prophesied.
Yeah, right.
And as we were staying there for some days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down to Judah. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound it with his own hands and feet and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. On this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and will deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And we know that happened to Paul. We know that happened to Paul. He knew what was coming. But he had to take the gospel, and that's what happened. But they were four daughters, four women.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yes.
Who prophesy. You get some churches, like, I don't know, women be silent in the church, you know. And God has set me up to fight against that. God said, "You will fight against the establishment." And I know just recently somebody was talking about potentially coming to the church, but they have an issue with women in the church. And asked me my opinion, and I gave it to them the way I saw it from Scripture. And they haven't been since, that's okay. I'm not, you know, in God there is no male nor female. Right? You know, under the new covenant, under that new covenant, there's no male, there's no female. Right? Each of us can hear the voice of God. But at the same time, each of us has to be teachable. David has to be teachable. He's the older man. He could say, "Well, I've been in this a lot longer than you. I know more than you." And in some areas, he can well do. But you see, if he's at a point where he says, "I know it all," forget it. You know, I don't need him.
We're never too late to learn,
are
we?
No. Exactly. And we have to keep a spirit of teachability. And if somebody, I've seen folk come, they're going to come and join us, and straight away I can sense that spirit in them. It's like, "You're unteachable." Well, you'll not be stopping long, I'll tell you that. Because them and me are not going to get on. And then there are others that come in who have a spirit of Jezebel on them. It's not a woman. The spirit was on it's called Jezebel because the woman that mainly was dominated by it, but it can be on a man. And that spirit of Jezebel to control and to manipulate. I've had Jezebel arrive. Now, me and Jezebel fight like two cats and dogs. So far, I've won every one. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Yeah, but you see, it's being aware. Right? It's being aware. And at the same time, making other people aware in leadership. Watch this one. There's a spirit of Jezebel. We need to deal with that one.
I don't know what you mean, Jezebel.
Well, that's another subject.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's another subject. No, I know. I'm going deeper, but you'll just put that in your memory bank. That's just something for the future. Okay? Yeah, okay. We can't teach everything all in one go. In fact, we're going over it. I'm going over time well now. Anyway, so here we have. There are four young ladies who are able to prophesy. They're not necessarily classed as prophets, but they're prophesying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because then it says, and then Agabus come, who is a prophet. It's not to say that these young women would not develop and grow into being prophets, but they were prophesying. In other words, they were hearing God. They had been brought up and taught the word of God, and they were listening to the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about earlier on about the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Holy Spirit present in both, but in the New Testament is preeminent with Jesus to help and lead and guide us in the church. Hallelujah. And I'll just read you one more scripture, and it's from the book of Joel and chapter 2 verses 28 to 29. That's the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon your servants and upon your handmaids in those days I will pour out of my spirit. Nobody is excluded. The Jews, the Gentiles, upon them all. Free man, slave, everybody would receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Father, we thank you for your word.